Hey, Vineyard Church, welcome to our Sunday morning experience. We are again so glad that you have joined us and that you're welcoming us into your living room or kitchen or maybe even breakfast in bed. I don't know where you guys are at this morning, but we're so glad that you have joined us. Have an exciting thing to share with you. We have a guest speaker this morning. Really looking forward to hearing from him this morning. I know he's going to have a great word to share with our church community. But as always, let's open in prayer and a little bit of worship together before we jump into the rest of our Sunday morning. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your presence with us. And I pray that around Northern Colorado, around the nation, as people are tuning in, that your presence would fall upon us right now. As we're in the different rooms of our homes, as we're separated from gathering face to face, would you unite us right now with your presence and with your love? Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Matt.
Hi, I'm Natalie.
And we want to invite you to lift your voices and sing these songs with us. Make them your prayers. Make them worship this morning in your home. Every song we sing, every word we say, every melody, every note we play, every heart that's beating in this place, every hand that's lifted up in praise, it's all for you, Jesus. All for you, Jesus. All of the glory and honor and praise be yours forever. Every rushing wind and a crashing wave, every setting sun, every sky ablaze, when a billion stars are on display, the universe declares your praise. It's all for you, Jesus. All for you, Jesus. All of the glory and power and praise be yours forever.
Sing it again, it's all for you.
It's all for you, Jesus. It's all for you, Jesus. All of the glory and power and praise be yours forever.
Let's join our voices together.
We join with all of creation. We join with all of creation. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, to give you praise.
We join, Lord.
Oh, we join with all of creation. We join with all of creation. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, to give you praise. It's all for you, Jesus. All for you, Jesus. All of the glory and power and praise be yours forever.
Oh, Jesus, it's all for you, Jesus.
All for you, Jesus. All of the glory and power and praise be yours forever.
In times of joy, in times of peace, in times of sorrow, in times of grief, your still small voice speaks so clearly. When darkness comes and I'm afraid, when I'm alone and lost my way, still your voice speaks so clearly.
You are with me.
It is our prayer that our ears would be open to you, that our eyes would be open to seeing your activity, that we would be changed by you. And we invite you to have your way. Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us. It's just a great way to start our mornings and really start our weeks together. Before I bring our special guest out to continue our series, The Power of Prayer, I have two quick announcements that I just want to share with you. And of course, I'll be sharing more in the coming days and in the coming weeks as well. But just wanted to let you know a couple things on the front end. One, Governor Polis has been very gracious in offering some of his time to pastors and clergy members from around the state. I was on a conference call with him and a couple hundred other pastors just this last week, and we were talking about the transition from the stay-at-home order to the next phase where he's kind of titled it Safer at Home. And some of you may be wondering, how does that impact church? It impacts us a little bit, but not too terribly much. We still won't be able to gather in the month of May. And so we'll continue to meet digitally and do kind of our virtual Vineyard experience every Sunday morning. That will continue in the month of May, but small groups and some different things will be able to happen. There's just some limitations on how large our group can get. So just wanted to give you a heads up that we are in conversation with the governor's office. Again, he's been very gracious in helping us lead our church and lead our community. And so stay tuned for future information on that as we navigate all the different details that we're getting. But at least for the month of May, we'll continue to do church online, and so thankful that we can gather this way. The second thing that I wanted to remind you on, or just kind of talk a little bit about, is that for many of us, the stimulus money and the stimulus package is beginning to hit our bank accounts. And there is a movement happening statewide and even nationwide right now, using the phrase, share the stimulus. And I just wanted to share that with you right now, because this is a dynamic way that we can begin impacting the families in the greatest need that are in our church and all around our community by sharing the stimulus. For some of you, that means, you know, offering a normal tithe and offering from the stimulus that you get. For others, it's going to mean maybe a little bit more, that God has been gracious and generous to you. You are able to be gracious and generous to those around you as well. But I just wanted to invite you to continue keeping us in mind as God is providing for your needs. We are getting more and more requests from families in our church community and in the greater Fort Collins area with rent assistance and groceries assistance and different utility bills and things. And so far, we are doing a great job at meeting all of those needs. And a lot of that is because of your hearts, the way that God has impacted you and really crafted this Christ-likeness inside of your own heart to be generous. And so I wanted to say thank you for that. Thank you so much for the way that you have continued to be generous. And as we approach receiving the stimulus money, let's keep that phrase in our minds and in our hearts as well. Share the stimulus with those in need. Well, I'm so excited to continue our series this morning, The Power of Prayer. I've been looking forward to having our guest come for many, many weeks, and it just seemed to be the perfect fit right now. It's going to be a familiar face for many of you and an introduction for others. So won't you welcome Rick Knable one of the longtime teachers at our church, back in to share a word with you this morning. Rick?
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be here with all of you, wherever you are. If you don't know me, I was a pastor here years ago, for quite a while, actually. And if you do know me, I hope this is one of many times I get to come and share with the Vineyard family. I appreciate, in some ways, Jeff allowing me to teach on this topic because it's near and dear to my heart. It's what I breathe and what I live and what our community lives. But at the same time, I only have a few minutes to talk about something that is probably as vast as intercessory prayer. So I'll give it my best shot. I'll probably talk too fast, so I apologize ahead of time. But basically, my journey into contemplative prayer began about 15 years ago, honestly, because I was at a place, I was a pastor and been a Christian for a long time, but I was at a place where it just didn't seem to be enough in my life. Understanding God, I understood him in my head, but it just wasn't getting down to my heart. So I went on a journey into, much like Jeff did as he talked last year, into prayer and trying to understand maybe some ancient types or forms of prayer that I could incorporate into my life, because my prayer life had become basically a laundry list to God, basically listing out all the things I needed and wanted, or my disappointment with God as to what he wasn't doing right. I mean, that's what it kind of got relegated to, or the desperation prayer, the oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God prayer. I'm in a tight jam, please rescue me from this. That's kind of where I was in my life. But I knew that there needed to be more. I desired to know God at a deeper level. I desired more in my life. I wanted to grow in my knowledge of Jesus. And I had a lot of head knowledge. I'd been through seminary, and I knew a lot of things about God. But did I really know God? It's kind of like knowing about your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friend, knowing about them but not really knowing them. There's a difference there, right? And that was the desire that drew me to. Maybe possibly you're at that place as well. This thing that we're going to look at today, a prayer in general, lends itself to the time that we're in. It really does. Many of us have a little bit extra time. Some of us have less because the kids are home and all those things, but I get that. But many of us have extra time to maybe even explore these things. So today, the power of prayer, I want to talk about specifically contemplative prayer. Now you may have heard the term contemplation versus contemplative prayer. There's a nuanced difference between the two. We're going to focus on contemplative prayer, but this idea of contemplation is kind of a bigger subject, right? Having a contemplative mind, I know it's big now, a mindfulness is really big now, just kind of slowing and being contemplative. But what we're going to talk specifically is Christian contemplative prayer. It's slightly different, includes some of those elements, but it's slightly different, right? Ignatius of Loyola describes it as his desire was to grow in a heartfelt knowledge of Jesus Christ so that he could love him more deeply and follow him more closely in his life. And that really was the desire that motivated him to delve into it back several hundred years ago. So we're going to talk about this. And really what it is, having a contemplative mind, is really just, when it comes to Christian circles, is being aware of the kingdom of God all around us, right? The Vineyard, if you've been around it any length of time, really big on this thing called kingdom theology, and I'm sure Jeff talks about it all the time, is this idea that the kingdom of God is here and now, and we can connect with that. We can see that happening all around us. Well, what contemplative prayer does is it opens us up to that. Being of a contemplative mind is basically what we were singing earlier about being still and knowing God, right? And a lot of times in the lives we live now, everything is so crazy and going so fast. And even our faith in places is just so frenetic that we need to just stop and be still so that we can know, right? We can connect with the kingdom of God all around us. It's inbreaking kingdom that John Wimber used to talk about back in the day of the kingdom of God happening. And it's a matter of noticing, right? It's not a matter of calling it into existence necessarily. It's just a matter of noticing it's happening all around us all the time, and too many times we missed it. In fact, that was the indictment against the disciples that Jesus had. I'm here and it's happening all around you, yet you're missing it. You're missing what's happening. And that's what we really want to do. We're going to focus on prayer, briefly what it is and some different types, the benefits I've discovered in delving into it over these last 15 or so years, And then we're going to practice it. As we head into the Lord's Supper at the end, we're going to do that. And we're going to do some contemplative prayer leading into that. And you guys have been doing some of it, actually, from what I understand, at the end of your services, just being quiet, contemplating, meditating, if you will. Now, some people have a little bit of trouble with this idea of meditation, though. And I wanted to dispel that, if I could, right from the outset, because some people have kind of hesitate when they hear about contemplative prayer and mysticism and all these things, because they're caught up in this idea of Eastern meditation or transcendental meditation or whatever you want to put on it. And the difference, and I was asking one of my favorite scholars, Jeff Faust, about what his take was on it, and he had this to say: the difference between Eastern meditation and Christian meditation is that in Eastern, you try to empty yourself, but in Christian, you're being filled with the presence, knowledge, and power of Jesus Christ. There's the difference. In all forms of Christian meditation, Christian contemplation, contemplative prayer, you're not just emptying yourselves and opening yourselves up to whatever. You are actually fixing yourself on the person of Jesus Christ or God or an image of that or a prayer or one of those things, okay? So that's what we're talking about. So if there's any kind of hesitation, that's what I want to be clear from the very beginning. Richard Rohr talks about taking a long and loving look at what is real, with a capital R. I like that. At what is real. Again, Ignatius of Loyola encouraged his monks when they would meditate, because this is where a lot of this came from, was through the monastic tradition. You hear about those in the Catholic Church, if you're not familiar with it, of these people who would get away in the desert, or they'd get away in monasteries and they'd pray all the time. But they would desire to sit in the long and loving gaze of God. And I'll explain in just a minute to some of the benefits that I've experienced, because it kind of may sound kind of weird in some regards. But really, it's just about being still long enough, quieting all of the voices around you, so that you can know God at a deeper level. And I believe created beings were meant to do that. That's what we are on this earth to do, to know God and make him known, right? And to reflect the goodness and the love and the grace of God and to bring this kingdom into existence wherever we go. So long, loving look at the real. Why would you do it? Why not just continue as usual? Which you can, and there's nothing wrong with it, and all those forms of prayer are valid and they work, but why should you engage in this thing called contemplative prayer? I just want to share with you a few things that I've experienced through incorporating into my life. Because really it's a tool, right? It's a tool in our lives to grow closer in our relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you're starting out with a relationship with God, it's a way to connect with that which is true, with a capital T, that which real, right, with a capital R. First thing the contemplative prayer does for me and many that I've helped to go on this journey or that I've known is contemplative prayer raises our awareness of God's kingdom all around us. Like I said earlier, right? It's one way to become more aware, tune in to the kingdom of God and how it works, okay? Tune into the kingdom of God and how it works. See, a lot of times we get duped in the world today into thinking that really this is all this is what we can touch and taste and feel and bump into, right? But there's a whole nother realm called the kingdom of God that's happening all around us, right? And we just don't slow down long enough to do it. And that's the first benefit that I've gained is when I'm engaged in contemplative prayer, I'm able to notice more. All those beautiful, wonderful, creative things that are happening all around me. And Jesus talks about it actually in one of his many parables. He's talking to his followers and he says, consider the ravens, right? Because one way you can use contemplative prayer is to contemplate on nature, right? God's created order and to sit with the creation. And from that, you know, that you see God, right? I mean, you can't help it. That's why most of us live in this part of the country, right? Because of the beauty that's all around us. We see God all over the place. We're attuned to that. And Jesus even tells his disciples, like, consider the ravens. Contemplate the ravens. Consider the wildflowers, right? Think on them for a minute, and guess what? You're going to see the kingdom. And he goes on to share, and we'll talk about the rest of that story in just a minute. The next thing, contemplative prayer, it connects us to God's heart of love. Right? God is love. We've heard that talked about. The kind of love that we read about in the Bible, the kind of love that we see in people that I think that we admire throughout history is a love that doesn't come of themselves. It comes from someplace else. It's a very primal kind of deep-rooted kind of love that comes, I believe, and we believe, from God. And the only way that we can walk in that love, the only way we can actually be people who love like that, which the world desperately needs right now, is to have been people who are well-loved by God. In 1 John, John, actually the disciple who called himself the one who Jesus loved, I just like that phrase. He says in John chapter 4, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son in the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us." It goes on later to say, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. In verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We want to get to this source of I believe, life and creation and everything, the universe, and that's the love of God, right? That is just absolutely churning throughout everything. And we want to connect with that, and we want to understand at a personal level that we are dearly loved. And when we begin to do that at deeper and deeper levels, we begin to be changed, we begin to be transformed, we begin to become the kind of people who can truly love their neighbor. And crazy enough, as Jesus asks us to love our enemy. Crazy stuff that Jesus asks us to do, we can begin doing that because we can first be loved. Whoever lives in love, listen to this, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. The world's clamoring for unity with the cosmos, or unity with what, you know, unity with this being. There it is right there. God lives in us as we connect at a deeper level with God. That's what contemplative prayer does for me and for many, is it connects us to God's heart of love. And the next thing it does, it connects us deeper to ourselves and the needs of those around us. You cannot sit with Creator God for very long and be enveloped in his love without beginning to understand yourself more. In fact, Augustine wrote, "If I would know you, God, I would know myself. If I would know you, God, I would know myself." A lot of us are on a journey to kind of find ourselves, right? To find out who we are. Back when I grew up, as you know, you go on a journey, I have to find myself. I have to go on this journey of whatever to kind of find who I was. And here it is right here. It says, if I would know you, God, the Creator, my Creator, I would know myself. And then by knowing myself, I then can know others at a better level, right? I love because I was first loved. Thomas Merton, a monk in Kentucky, a Trappist monk, in the 50s and 60s, wrote a bunch of great stuff, but he kind of reinvigorated this idea, he and Thomas Keating, of contemplative prayer in the church. But he said this to say, and I think it resonates with me, maybe it resonates with you. He says, "We wish to gain a true evaluation of ourselves and of the world so as to understand the meaning of our life as children of God redeemed from sin and death. We wish to gain a true loving knowledge of God, our Father and Redeemer. We wish to lose ourselves in his love and rest in him. We wish to hear his word and respond to it with our whole being. We wish to know his merciful will and submit to it in its totality." That just resonates with me and what my journey was like. And contemplative prayer helps in that. Helps us know God, know ourselves, and know our place in this crazy world, and especially now. What is my place in this crazy world, and what's going on? Well, I think my experience is contemplative prayer can help us get to that place. The outcome of contemplating creation, we talked about earlier, consider the ravens, consider the flowers in Luke 12. The Message version says this, what Jesus says, "What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all of your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself, and then it flows into being generous. Give to the poor. See, this system of this kind of a movement of going to God and then knowing yourself more, then eventually and always turns outward to loving those around us. So contemplative prayers is the use of these meditative prayers to increase our knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ so we can understand ourselves in the world and our place in it, simply put. And there's several different varieties, and we're going to go ahead here in a few minutes, and we're going to go ahead and practice them. It may be a little awkward for you, but that's okay. A lot of this time has been a little bit awkward for all of us, but we're going to practice one form, but there's many different forms. Some of you may have heard of centering prayer. Centering prayer was made popular by Thomas Keating a couple of decades ago, and it's really just focusing on an image or a word that really brings God to the center for you. And you just continue to try and just focus on that word for a period of time and just be still, right? And know God. There are breath prayers. You can take a written prayer, and as you breathe in, you say a certain line. As you breathe out, you say another line. And there's this rhythm of your body and your breath combining with the words in the prayer just kind of cause you to connect with God at maybe a deeper level. There's all kinds of imaginative prayer, where you imagine yourself in the story. Ignatius of Loyola was big on imaginative prayer, where you would take a portion of scripture, usually a gospel story, and you'd imagine yourself as one of the characters, and you would just read it over and over again. It's one of the things of contemplative prayers, there's repetition. And normally two or three times you repeat the same thing, and you just kind of focus on it, and you kind of meditate on it, and you allow the story to come alive to you. And then you notice things in the story, right? That's really just contemplative. There's many different other kinds you can. There's shower prayers, praying in the shower. I do that quite often. I have a friend who's a mother of young children, and she does bathroom prayers. She just will, it's the only chance she gets, she'll lock the bathroom door and the toddlers are outside, and she just prays in the bathroom. And she has some quiet time, some time to connect with God. And whatever works, wherever it works, is what you want to do. But the big thing is, again, is to be still, to quiet your heart, quiet yourself. We're going to go ahead and practice what's called Lectio Divina. It's just basically sacred reading. And this has been practiced for thousands of years. It actually was practiced in the Old Testament. Many of the Jews would practice this sacred reading, where they would read portions of the Bible, not for knowledge, but for more for understanding in their heart. They would sit with these scriptures, and they would allow the scripture to speak. That's the interesting thing about the sacred text, the Bible, is it's alive. It can speak to us in the here and now, right? So basically that's what we do. Lectio Divina is what it's called, sacred reading. You read a passage several times through slowly. I'm going to go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and take communion together. Hopefully you have the elements. If not, you can run and grab them right now and get them ready, the bread or cracker and the juice. And we're going to go ahead and take that at the end. But first, we're going to sit with a portion of scripture that's familiar to all of us. I'm going to read it through three times and pausing in between each. And normally when you do Lectio Divina, you would pause a little longer, but we're going to just shorten that up a little bit. But first time through, just open yourself up to the presence of God. Just be open. Maybe you want to sit in a posture where your hands are open to God. Maybe you want to close your eyes if you'd like. However you're going to feel comfortable, but just try and just be still, basically, is the first portion. I'll read it, and you just listen to it. And then the second time through, I want you to listen for a particular word or a phrase in that particular thing that as my friend Dave Nixon says, shimmers, that catches your attention, right? That God wants to possibly speak to you through. And this isn't rocket science. If you don't happen to get anything, just choose one. You can just choose a word and ask God, right? Then the third time through, just listen, and as you hear that phrase again, listen for God's invitation in your heart. The Creator God is always inviting us into something, some sort of shenanigans, some sort of thing, some sort of change, some sort of action or inaction. But He's always calling us to more. He's always calling us into something deeper or more. And that's what we, but the third time through, just ask God, God, what are you inviting me into? Then after the third time through, we'll go ahead and take the elements together and maybe even focusing on that phrase. Does that sound good? So we'll go ahead and do that. So just go ahead again, quiet yourself and just open yourself up to the presence of God as I read from Luke 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, the next time I read this through, the second time, listen again for that particular word or phrase through which God wants to speak to you. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. As I read this a third time, just listen for maybe the invitation, the drawing to more. I can't even begin to understand what that might be for you, but just listen for that. Maybe God is inviting you into more. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, if you're taking communion, you can go ahead and we'll take the elements together. Elements, bread, and juice, or cracker. You may want to think of the word or the phrase that shimmered as you take this quietly together, but millions of believers across the country right now or across the world are doing the same thing we're doing. It kind of unites us, and it's a pretty powerful thing. In fact, Martin Luther used to believe, he believed that God was present in a special way when we broke bread together. That night he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then after supper, he took the cup. He said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Go ahead and drink. Papa God, we thank you that you are present to us all the time. And God, we have the opportunity to connect with your kingdom. We have the opportunity to be still and know the God of the universe. We have the opportunity to be known by our Creator. Therefore, know ourselves and know others. And we thank you. Amen.
So we want to enter into a time of response. Let's respond together to what the Holy Spirit is doing and what he's saying. And a few of the responses that you can participate in, we would love to pray with you. And every week that we gather, whether it's in person or digitally, we want to provide an opportunity for you to get prayer. And so there's a button that you can click to request prayer, and one of our staff will join a one-on-one chat with you to pray about whatever is on your heart, whatever God is speaking to you about. Or maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and as Rick was speaking about the love of God and knowing God's love, something was happening in your heart, and you want to begin that relationship today. There'll be an opportunity for you to raise your hand and begin that relationship. And you can follow up. There'll be a link that you can click to reach out and make contact. We would love to just begin a conversation with you about what that relationship would look like this week. Obviously, there'll be an opportunity to give. You can give generously as God has provided for you. You can give back to the mission that he has given us as a faith community. And of course, we want to invite you to sing and raise your voices. So let's join our hearts, join our voices together and respond accordingly. To the cross I look.
To the cross I look. To the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink. Of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love, and God is just. At the cross you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Yeah. What a priceless gift. What a priceless gift. Undeserved life have I been given through Christ crucified. You call me out of death. Call me into life. I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. Ooh, yeah. At the cross you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees. And I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. In all of the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love. How great is your faithfulness. In all the cross, in all of the cross I must confess. Yeah. How wondrous your redeeming love. And how great is your faithfulness. Cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. cross you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Oh, I'm surrendered to you. I surrender to you. Cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Laying down. I've come to fall down, seek only your face, laying down my crown. Oh, I've come to worship, I've come to fall.
Father, thank you that you are not far off right now, that you're not hidden, that you are near to us. God, thank you that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance, that even now your grace, your kindness, your love draws us to yourself, draws us to your heart. Thank you.
In your church, thank you so much for joining us for another Sunday experience. As always, we hope and pray that this has been a meaningful time for us to gather together, a meaningful opportunity to worship and to hear a message from God's Word, to take communion together, to give and to worship as one community. So thank you for joining us. We're going to leave the chat window open for a few more minutes if you'd like to stay and say hi to some of your friends. And next week, we'll continue this series. My wife Natalie and I are actually going to be co-preaching next week. So we're excited to share that message with you as well. Have a great rest of your Sunday and a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week. Take care.